It's the Healthy Woman Show on WJR with Marie Osborne and Dr. Jonathan Zaden, presented by Women's Excellence. Now here's your host, Marie Osborne.
Dr. Zaden, I can't believe it. It's already the end of the year, our last show of the year. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas to you and really all of our listeners too, right?
It's amazing that we've gotten through a whole year, talked about all these interesting topics throughout the year, and now we're here to kind of be thankful for all the things that we have and talk about setting goals for the future for our patients.
And you always love to talk about your patients and the people in your office, the care providers. And on today's show, we're going to really touch on a very interesting topic. Our guest today is going to talk a little bit about bringing a child into the world and her faith-based practice in that regard.
It's going to be great to have Nicole Basger on our show today.
All right, stay with us here on the Healthy Woman Show on WJR. Zaden, I know you like to reflect back and really give thanks at this time of year for your patients, for your office, the people who work in your office, and the people who provide so much care through the year.
It's a real gift to be able to provide women's excellence to our community. And it's really not me that provides it. It's really a large company now, and everybody has a part in it. Every one of our medical assistants, our medical receptionists, every person that schedules people, our surgical schedulers, everyone plays a part in making our company a better place to be. We're going to talk to a provider that brings a different aspect of our practice this afternoon. We are going to talk a little bit about, you know, throughout the day about the convenience to our patients and all the things that we should be thankful for that we have the ability to do, because we didn't have the ability to do them years ago. Technology's actually helped us, and we're able to kind of better appointment availability, better virtual care visits. We have online chat, we have medical records, and it's really about making everybody's lives better. And at this time of the year, I keep reflecting on the fact that we're lucky to have families. And if we can spend more time with our families and less time with doing all the things that we need to do with medical care, I think we're going to be way ahead of the game.
During this past year, we've talked about infertility, pelvic pain, bladder control problems, weight gain, menopause, cancer, of course, all very big topics for Women's Excellence, your practice. And we've gone through all of them here on the Healthy Woman Show. But I'm always amazed each week as to how you explain how you've folded in technology into your practice and how it's really become a big part of how you care for your patients.
You know, I think that, you know, in everything that you do, you have to leverage the tools that are available, and those tools change. At one time, it was a shovel, and now it's a bulldozer or an excavator, right? And the same with medicine. I mean, we started back in the day with, you know, very limited tools and, you know, a paper scheduling apparatus, a clipboard and a pencil,
yep.
Right? And
right.
There was, you know, a lot of growth in the medical field, and we needed to get better technology. And now we're, you know, at the point where we're doing things online, and we're chatting with our patients, and we're responding to messages like I did today already, where we had, I think it was 20 messages on our portal that I responded to and literally gave people direction on which way we wanted to go for their care. I mean, these are very important things that we need to kind of leverage and harness. I think that every practice is trying to do it. Every doctor's trying to do it. Every nurse is trying to do it. The question is, how do we do it the best, and how do we make it so that it's not that we're only doing and using different phases of technology, but we're actually using different phases of technology to leverage a patient's time, convenience, and their emotional disturbance. Because remember, healthcare is all about the patient. And so when we're talking to a patient, everything that we do is emotional. So if something goes on for 2 days and we don't answer it, it's an emotional disturbance to that patient and maybe the patient's family, friends, and so forth. And we're doing our best every day to try to make that an easier experience for the patient. And that's I think, the best part of technology is if we can see the difference that it's making.
Women's Excellence has grown to so many offices. Why don't you just quickly list them for us so that we know where they are? I know that you have one, a new one that just opened in Birmingham. I know you have one out in the Oakland County area, north of Clarkston, in that area.
Well, we actually had an office in Birmingham that we started about 4 years ago, and it's actually a blessing because we moved that office only about a mile.
Right.
I think it's a mile
road,
and a quarter,
right?
Down the road,
yeah.
in Royal Oak. You may have seen it. It's got
exactly,
a big Women's
right
Excellence
on
logo. But the reason we did that is because our practice expanded so much in that location. I mean, we had so many more patient visits, so many more patient contact visits, and the building and the parking in Birmingham wasn't able to support that. Now we have a much better parking arrangement and much better visibility so people can see us on the road. And it's great because we're also going to expand that office again to put its own separate midwifery center in the front of the building, and also some what we call is Women's Excellence Enhanced, which are going to be some other services that we'll talk about, I'm sure, in a future show.
And when you talk about growing your practice, though, that means, you know, more patients. How do you continue to keep that personal touch with your patients, between the doctors, between the healthcare providers? I know you have a big midwife staff. How do you impress upon your staff to keep that personal touch with your patients?
Well, I think the biggest thing that we do is that we don't control every aspect of a patient's care, because the personal touch of a physician, everybody has a different feeling about what type of physician they want. And, you know, if you can get to the point where the physician can practice on their own, that's the best way to keep that personal touch. However, there's a lot of things in healthcare that make it more difficult for anyone to practice. There's insurance regulations, there's scheduling conflicts, there's scheduling with hospitals, outside labs and testing that you have to obtain to provide that patient care. And so I think that the biggest thing that we do with Women's Excellence, and I think that we're really focusing on, is making sure that that back office stuff is constantly addressed. I mean, there's times where we're making process around a certain item, maybe it's an insurance regulation, and we may change that process two or three times in a year, all so that at the end of it, when we finally get that process down, the patient experiences a seamless experience. They don't experience all the problems, but it just happens for them. They don't even know all the efforts that we put behind it. They just know that whatever it was, they ordered it and it happened. But in many cases, there's a lot of process around that. If the patient gets backlogged with all that process and doesn't feel like they can get the service that they wanted or the test that they got in a timely fashion, they don't feel a personal touch.
No, they don't. Absolutely.
Right? So you know, the short of it is that we allow our providers to be providers. And the long of it is that we put guidelines and process to kind of weed through all that minutiae that happens behind the scenes, because, you know, I kind of feel like the doctor and the patient, that should be what everyone sees. And all that other stuff, all that administrative stuff that can kind of interfere with their care, that should be all in the back end. And we should do that as best as we can. Quite frankly, I don't think we're doing it as well as we should. It's not because we're not trying. It's because sometimes we'll make a process and the insurance companies will change it midway. Sometimes we'll make a process and there'll be different guidelines from CMS at the hospital, which is the Centers for Medicaid and Medicare Services, and they may have a different process that we have to follow. So, you know, there's a lot of things that change, but we're always in the back end trying to build better process to make that customer interface between our doctors, providers, midwives, you know, and the patient, make that a better experience for them, because that's what this is all about.
And at this time of year, of course, we're always talking about setting up new goals for the new year. And we're going to talk about that when we come back here on the Healthy Woman Show on WJR. Welcome back to the Healthy Woman Show here on WJR. Of course, our host, Dr. Jonathan Zaden from Women's Excellence, bringing us all year all good topics, talking about women's health, having to do with overcoming infertility, pelvic pain, bladder control problems, cancer, menopause, just running the gamut on all those topics. And Dr. Zaden, you said you wanted to talk a little bit about setting goals for the new year and how important that is for your health.
Well, so much on this show, we talk about the medical side and we have patient testimonials and everything. But I think that it's really important that we kind of look at, you know, one of the big, big things that we do, I think, every day, every provider probably does it in every practice. But, you know, and that is, you know, setting a goal for a patient and then achieving that goal. And that can be in many different things. I know at Women's Excellence, our goals for the year are, you know, literally, we just talked about it, right, is to make the patient experience more convenient for them and to make it more seamless for them. And that's one of our main goals. I mean, it's something that we're always working towards, but we always, you know, just like everyone else as a company, we reset our goal to say, okay, it's 2020. What do we want to accomplish now? Right. We have a goal where we want to increase our staff morale. We're looking at doing some things for better fundraising and things that we can give back as a company to the community. And then also, you know, just like we talked about in our last segment before the break, and that we wanted to, you know, really look at each and every aspect of every procedure and every process that we do and fine tune it so the patient gets a better experience. So those were our goals. But the truth of the matter is, I mean, as you know, right, the holidays are a time to kind of reevaluate your own life and your own health goals. And, you know, I'm sure you've done that this year. And certainly we emphasize that to patients.
How do you broach that subject with a patient to say, do you actually say what kind of goals do you think you'd like to have in the new year and the next 12 months?
I definitely do that.
Do you?
I do that all the time. Well,
yeah.
There's a couple of things that we do. Sometimes I'm seeing patients for consultative work, right? So somebody comes to me because they have a bladder control problem. They're not always ready to do a surgical intervention or a major change, but sometimes it's a stepwise fashion till they can get to the point in their life where it's convenient to do that. And that's a goal. Right. So sometimes I'll say, OK, let's start you on some medications and let's, you know, start you on doing some, you know, pelvic floor kind of contractions. And I'll teach them how to do that. And then we'll see how that goes. And then we'll see if down the road you want to proceed and do some bladder control stuff, if it's good for you this year. And here's some things that you can do to kind of help the problem while we're getting to that. And then there's all kinds of other goals that we set where people come in and they say, you know, I'm having a hard time with my job. I'm having a, you know, I mean, being a physician is a very personal interaction. And so I hear about people's employment. I sometimes hear about their relationships. I hear about schoolwork. I hear about, you know, what their next, you know, what their next career move might be. And I always say that the best thing is to set a goal and I say this frequently, is take whatever that item is, if it's like getting to a new job, and say, what are the 10 things I like about my job? And then determine if the next job you're going for is actually on that list. I mean, if you put all those things down and you're trying to get a job that doesn't satisfy those goals, that's not a good thing. So you have to kind of put down a list of things that you want to do, like to do, and want to accomplish. And then you kind of morph things to that. And health is no different. Some people come in and they say, well, I want to lose 50 pounds. Great. I know you want to do that. So here's the things that we need to do. And then they say, well, I don't know if I can cut down my diet. And so we go over the things in their diet that they may or may not be able to kind of get rid of and things that they like, and then talk about how they can still maybe eat those things they like in a way that, you know, isn't going to make them continually gain weight. They have to change their lifestyle, and we talk about those things. Those are all goals. And you know, part of keeping yourself healthy is to assess yourself, and this is the time of year to do it. Assess where you're at. Do you want your skin better? Do you want, you know, do you want to lose weight? Do you want to start working out? You know, and then start to really formulate a plan. And I think I do that at the time of annual exams all the time. I do that sometimes when I'm doing these consults where we say, okay, these are the things you need to do. And I can't tell you how many times somebody will come back. I may not have seen them for a year and say, I changed my whole life because of what you told me last year.
Wow.
Sometimes I can't even remember what I told them.
And then you're like, oh.
You know what I mean? Because I see so many people and we do it so frequently. But it happens quite frequently where somebody will, you know, mention one thing and I'll say, oh my gosh, I remember talking about that. And here they did it. And it was just because they sat down and wrote down what they really wanted to do, and then they started to check it. We all work best on lists.
Right.
And I think once you get once you create your list of what you want to accomplish, it's amazing what you can do.
You know, it's interesting to me because what you're talking about when you're talking about relationships or a new job or your situation with anything in your life, if you can bounce it off of somebody else like your doctor, but your doctor has to be open to hearing it, sometimes that gives you the confidence to go out and really kind of tackle the goal and really go forward on that. So that's part of your job.
Well, I think I'm a facilitator, right? A facilitator not only of medical care, but we're facilitators of people leading a better, healthy lifestyle. And part of that is their emotional, their EQ, as opposed to just their physical side. And, you know, if I can kind of get them to the point where they're feeling better about themselves and they're accomplishing some of these goals, it's amazing how some of these health things go away. I see it a lot in patients who have a specific disease process called polycystic ovarian. Sometimes it's a young lady, she may be 22, 23 years old, she's gained some weight as a result of the weight gain and concomitantly with the weight gain, she's also starting to get some different hair growth patterns, maybe periods are irregular, and she may have come to me because the periods were irregular and somebody referred her or whatever. And so, you know, I address the periods, but then I think you might have this syndrome that's polycystic ovarian. And then we do a small workup about that. And then we talk about, here's the things that you can do. Many of them are on them. Diet, for example,
right.
You know, lowering their carbohydrates. Once we do that and we talk about, you know, let's get you on that path, maybe we augment them with medicines, maybe we don't, maybe they do it all on their own, maybe we do it as a team. It's amazing because the next, you know, when I see them a year later, they will actually say to me, I can't believe it. It all started with when I came to you for my periods, and now I'm totally different. Actually, I changed my job. I changed everything. And it's these little incremental things that we do that allows us to kind of change a person's life. And it really starts, you know, it starts with your mental mindset. And that's our job to facilitate that.
Dr. Zaden, very quickly, because we want to introduce our guest that we have in studio today, but just very quickly, if someone's out there listening right now, they're dealing with a problem, let's just say it's menopausal symptoms, which is just one of many things, and they've kind of been, you know, the last 6-8 months, they've just kind of been avoiding it. You're saying now's the time to really act on that, assess what your plan is to, and deal with it, take care of it.
In the next few weeks, I think everyone should do what I'm going to do. So, you know, they say you can't talk the talk unless you walk the walk. Well, I know I'm going to do it. I'm going to sit down and write down all the things that I want to accomplish in the next year. And, you know, some of those will morph along the way because other opportunities will arise. And some of those will come off the list because I've investigated them in more thorough detail and decided that it's not for the best of my well-being to do that. But what I can tell you is if you make that list, that is a great start. So you got a couple weeks to do that. And then in January, especially in Michigan, because it's so seasonal, right? That's the best time to start this stuff because, you know, I hate saying it because it's a little bit negative, but the truth of the matter is there's not a whole lot to do in January, February, March, except for think about maybe going on a vacation to get away from here. But, but you know, even though Detroit's a super thriving city and that we're doing so many great things here, the truth of the matter is this is downtime for us, right? The days are a little bit shorter, it's a little colder, we're not doing as much outside, and, you know, our kids are in school and all those things. So now is a great time to kind of address menopausal issues, pain issues, bladder control stuff. You don't want to do that stuff in the middle of the summer many times because you're busy. You got other things to do.
Dr. Zaden, before we close out this segment in the last couple of minutes, we just want to bring in our special guest that we have in studio with us today. And I know this is someone who's a friend of yours, Dr. Nicole Basker.
Well, I'm pleased to have her here. Nicole does a really a faith-based kind of care pathway for all of her patients. And I think it's just amazing that we're able to bring her here at Christmas. So
welcome,
it's a pleasure
Dr.
for
Basker.
You to
thank you so much
her.
For having me.
When we talk about faith-based medical care, tell us in a nutshell what that means.
Or at least Nicole, explain to people because, you know, as you go on and tell us more, I think that people want to know, what are your credentials? Like, what are all the things that you've done? Because it's amazing to me. You know, I've known it and I've seen you evolve it over time, but it's amazing to me when I see it in writing, all the things you've done.
Sure, absolutely. It's been a very fulfilling journey to get to this point, and I'm just so thankful and appreciative to be able to offer my expertise at this point. I am born and raised here in Detroit, in Metro Detroit, went to Marion High School, U of M, studied pre-med in biopsychology and cognitive sciences. In undergrad, I started to develop an interest in alternative medicine and holistic medicine, and so I explored naturopathic and osteopathic routes to becoming a physician. Decided on osteopathic medicine after some shadowing experience and other research. And I love that you could integrate a preventative and holistic approach, acknowledging the philosophy of mind, body, and spirit health, recognizing the whole person and not just the symptoms. And so I pursued a path in osteopathic medicine and subsequently went to an OBGYN residency in Toledo. And during that time, I was committed to a natural family planning only or a pro-life path. And so what that would mean is that I would stay committed to my faith and my conscience, and also really develop the natural approach to reproductive health, which...
I think that's absolutely amazing because, you know, you've stood with that your whole career now. So
yes.
That was really
yes.
The basis of that. And the fact that, you know, I just talked earlier about how, you know, it's so important to set goals and you know, that there's more than just medicine mm-hmm. in medicine, right? You know, and you're saying the exact same thing. I mean, you're focused on prevention and the holistic nature of how to change somebody's care pathway. I think that's pretty amazing.
And Dr. Bhaskar, we want to hold right there for just a couple of minutes. We have to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to talk more about that. Our special guest today, Dr. Nicole Bhaskar. Of course, you're listening to The Healthy Woman Show with Dr. Jonathan Zaden here on WJR. Welcome back to the Healthy Woman Show. Of course, Dr. Jonathan Zaden alongside, as he always is, from Women's Excellence, talking about women's health. And our special guest today is Dr. Nicole Bhaskar. And such an interesting topic, Dr. Zaden. She brings to us a special perspective on, at this time of year, at Christmas time, the theme, of course. So
it's
perfect.
It's great to have her here at Christmas. And then, you know, you already heard a lot of the things, I mean, in our last segment about, you know, her accomplishments. But her biggest accomplishment, I think, that she culminated in 2011 and has really stood for in keeping her mindset of practice regarding that training program was the St. Pope Paul Institute for the Study of Human Reproduction. She did that at Creighton University. She spent a lot of time kind of, you know, creating her craft, really, because this is a special thing that she does. It's different than any other physician that I've ever seen. So, you know, I've been in contact with physicians for many, many, many years. It's been, I think, 27 years since I started wearing a white coat. And it amazes me that I've never really run into anyone who does what Nicole does as well as Nicole does it. So tell us a little bit, Nicole, what do you do?
Thank you so much. Absolutely. So my fellowship was in NAPRO technology, which is short for natural procreative technology. And basically what Dr. Hilders did, he's the pioneer of NAPRO technology and St. Paul VI Institute. He sought out in 1968 to actually develop a highly effective system of natural family planning, which would serve as a natural alternative to some of the dilemmas that women and families were facing in terms of family planning. And he developed the Creighton model, which is over 99% effective to achieve or avoid a pregnancy. And from that research, what came are these NAPRO technology applications, which ended up being medical and surgical ways that we can use the information we get from women's cycles and identify underlying abnormalities of the menstrual cycle, work up hormone dysfunction, and also address underlying anatomic, physiologic, and endocrine dysfunction.
And so really this is, I mean, it's just a way of taking every piece of information that a menstrual cycle gives you, maybe their like I've talked about earlier, their skin, their, you know, their weight, all these things, and really, really focusing on the patient as opposed to just focusing on a solution. Because let's face it, in Western medicine, we focus on the solution all the time, right? We you know, somebody comes in for regular periods, we immediately give them birth control pills to regulate their cycles. I spoke earlier in the segment about a lady that has polycystic ovarian syndrome, right? And setting goals so that they can help themselves, right, get back to a normal menstrual pattern and feel better about themselves. And that's what you're really doing. So this focus is not only Christian-based and faith-based, based, right? But it's also an amazing way of looking at somebody in great detail so that you can understand everything that's going on with them. And it's not just a disease process, but rather it's a holistic way of looking at how a patient is responding to their environmental aspects, maybe their diet, where they live, their stressors, all those things. Am I correct in saying that?
Absolutely. You hit the nail on the head. It's life-affirming, it's holistic, it's life-respecting, it's all of those things wrapped into one. So it appeals to a great variety of women and couples because it's natural, it's going to provide them with answers, it's going to be respectful of where they're at, where they've been, and where they're going. And it's just so great in that sense. And so it is faith-based, it is holistic, it's both. Absolutely.
Dr. Basker, if I could ask your patients who come to you, I can't imagine there's a lot of doctors out there like you. Like you said, Dr. Zaden, earlier, I think that women who want natural family planning can't find doctors oftentimes who will meet them where they are.
Yes, absolutely.
There's got to be a lot of frustration in that.
It is, and I see this as a great privilege in being able to meet women and couples and come in from that angle where I'm providing something that they haven't encountered before.
Right.
And also, as far as that fellowship training, there's only 20 plus of us around the world who have went and have done that training with Dr. Hilgers, the actual pioneer, and worked directly under him.
And you have to think, Marie, so she's doing this, you know, in a professional way. You know, many doctors, if somebody, you know, confronts them with wanting to do natural family planning, it's kind of more like an adjunct. They like say, well, you know, don't
good luck,
don't do these things,
yes,
at these times,
yeah,
and you should be okay.
Yeah.
She's actually looking at it from a much more detailed perspective,
scientific way,
which is why I really respect what she's doing.
And it's a positive spin on it. Yesterday I did back-to-back lectures at Wayne State University School of Medicine, and a few weeks ago at Michigan State University College of Osteopathic Medicine, and I was teaching the students about natural family planning and menstrual cycle physiology. And I was also giving them guidance for some of the dilemmas that they face during their training in terms of conscience development and how to practice in, you know, consistency with their conscience. And because part of the sponsor was the Catholic Medical Student Association, as well as the Medical Students for Life. And, you know, it is something that you want to be devoted to and consistent with right from the get-go. So it does take a lot of due diligence and research to make sure that what you're doing is having that positive spin where, you know, as I was teaching yesterday, sometimes I'll have women come in with their charts and they say they took this to their former GYN and they just kind of laughed it off or brushed it off. And so there is a very positive alternative spin on this as an adjunct.
I love the fact that you went and talked to medical school students about this. I mean, maybe they will ultimately not practice in the same way you do, but at least their mind has been open to this possibility that there will be patients who will want to have this type of...
100%.
Right?
And my mission in my talks yesterday was simply to give them a different perspective and a different way to look at things. So I summarize it as procreative OBGYN, meaning every single decision and the whole way that my practice is kind of revolved and centered around being sure you're life-respecting and life-affirming in every decision. And it really does span every area of reproductive health, from miscarriage to ectopic pregnancy to infertility to how you kind of honor the menstrual cycle and really the flow of life.
And that really, you know, I mean, Dr. Basger even named her company, which we contract with, you know, with Women's Excellence, as Life Flows Medicine and Surgery. You know, she is devoted to that whole flow of how somebody goes through their life.
And so what the Creighton model allows is for women to actually tap into and understand and have a great understanding of their body. And then when they're seeing a physician, and particularly in the visits that I offer, we're partners. So I'm there to help them understand and kind of add to their understanding. And from there, you can really enter into a preventative, proactive approach so that you can identify changes when something's not right. You really have to be familiar with the baseline to understand if there's changes. And also, once you know what your fundamental health looks like and feels like, you can support it properly and precisely.
I always think that no matter what I do, the more familiar I am about it, the better I do it.
Yes.
Right? And what strikes me about you and your practice after, you know, getting a chance to work alongside of you is that your patients know so much more about their bodies than most people do. When I talk to people about, you know, maybe, you know, their desire for pregnancy and making sure that, you know, they're going to have relations right around their ovulation, many people look at me and they have no idea when they're going to ovulate. And that may be simple for us, but, you know, like my dad told me, you know, what's simple, the difference between us as a professional is that what's simple for us versus a person who's not a professional in that field is maybe not so simple to those non-professionals. But being a professional allows us to educate them as thoroughly as we can so that they can take as much out of it as possible. And you know, that is so true. I mean, whether it's your accountant or your attorney or your builder, if they can educate you a little more, then you know so much more, right? Mm-hmm. And you're so much more powerful. And that's what just I really respect about your practice, is that you're really educating your patients. These are really people that know about their bodies and that can make their own changes, and it's all because of your partnership with them.
Absolutely.
How much time do you spend in a visit to kind of build that? I mean, and is it a series of visits that you do to kind of, you know, get that knowledge?
Yes. And I always make sure that first visit is a groundbreaking, fundamental, building block sort of a visit where I'm getting a great understanding of, again, where they're coming from so that I can meet them where they're at and support them properly as we move forward. And so it is a very detailed history intake, and then we
just to segue, right? You're identifying their goals.
Exactly.
I guess that's what this show is going to turn out to be, no matter what.
Right. Definitely hits on this theme, absolutely. But yeah, just building that fundamental relationship, because you know, if you don't know someone, how can you really support them? And so it spans across life, and it also applies to the doctor-patient dynamic. As you mentioned, you know, conventional medicine kind of drops in and gives people what they need or what they're lacking or fills in the gaps. Napro technology is a cooperative, holistic approach. And then you get into some of the more functional and integrative and alternative approaches, and it really is there to support the body to do it on its own. And that's the miracle of it. And so what I like to do is think of holistic health in terms of a couple different areas. So just looking at the body as a terrain, like a gardener. And so to understand, what does it need? Hydration, nourishment, what supplements, or how can we support with vitamins and minerals, and what other nutritional requirements do we need? And then also from a cellular perspective, detoxification, sweating, moving, and exercise, sacred rest. All of those things are so important. Restoration. Restoration is really the key to optimal function on a day-to-day basis. And over time, what we find is that it ends up being more simple to take care of yourself than to not take care of yourself. So I give them these tools along the way and kind of spell out their treatment plans so that they know, you know, which times of the cycle to implement which strategies. And basically, the goal is that it becomes pretty instinctual. And that's what Creighton Model System was designed to do, is start highly scientific to give you that great efficacy, but then ultimately become more intuitive. That's something that you can integrate into your day-to-day.
When you said the word sacred rest, explain that to our listeners, please.
You know, we really fit so much into our days.
Yes.
And it's unreal how much we can do in a 24-hour period, to the point that any of us would say, why aren't days 36 hours, so that we can fit in even more? But ultimately, what I've realized in my research from a personal and professional level, and also with a special interest in psychoneuroimmunology, which is identifying psychological, neurological, and immunologic considerations as the key to health. Basically, anti-cancer lifestyle equals an anti-inflammatory lifestyle equals a pro-fertility lifestyle. So I found that all of those things really influence each other. And at the heart of almost every topic that I can research or delve into is restorative sleep. Your body needs that time to heal. You need to slow down during a certain period of time. And so how can you do that when you're wired, right? So you get to the end of the day. And so I always address this with patients. What are your sleep patterns? How can we help with your sleep hygiene and the habits? And how can we also say, you know, if you're on a roll with your activities that day, how do you make sure you don't skip a meal? Skipping a meal is a huge influencer on cortisol production and the stress responses of the body. Sneak in a smoothie. Make sure there's protein in there. Look at all the different anti-cancer foods you can fit into there. Basically, food is medicine, and I try to really kind of encourage patients to think of food. How is it functional? How is it helping you? Make sure that everything it's so hard to get all the nutrients we need. How can you make sure that every food you're eating is doing something for your health?
I think if we looked at just that part of what you do and gave that prescription to everyone for the new year, we'd probably help 75% to 80% of all patients, right?
It's fascinating.
Including myself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've keyed on what I was saying all along, and that, you know, part of those goals that you have to set are to, you know, live a healthy lifestyle, and that, you know, that includes sleep and nutrition and all the things that you're talking about. And what's interesting is that people don't necessarily understand probably your program, because they don't, you know, it's not highly marketed to be a NAPRO program or a NAPRO program. They don't really understand what that is, but really it's really just about being human, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's really about just being a person and treating yourself like you would treat a piece of equipment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, people take their car to get an oil change and
their phone,
and their phone, and they defrag their computers.
Recharge,
and they do all those things, right? But when are they actually taking time to really, you know, maintain their body? In many cases, maybe zero time is spent. Or very minimal time in short bursts, right?
Mm-hmm.
And not in the long term. And what I'm hearing from you, and, you know, I always try to take away from every experience that I do some piece of learning. And what I'm learning even more about is that you're really recommending body maintenance.
Absolutely.
Right?
You know? Absolutely. And that's why I thought it was a good playoff of what you said about just simplicity, is it becomes more simple to take care of yourself. I have some patients who say they skip the meal at work all day and they're running on fumes. And another patient who will say she struggles with maintaining her hydration and she has a sign of dehydration in the office visit. And I come out and I bring them to my workstation, and Dr. Zaden's seen my workstation. I have a water. I have an orange rosemary cranberry water. I have a green tea. I have a smoothie with, you know, greens in it and protein and all of those things to keep me going. Because when we take care of ourselves, we can take care of others. And, you know, that's really the ultimate goal for us physicians, is really to learn how can we be the example for our patients.
Is your practice of medicine, faith-based approach to life and conception, the NAPRO technology, using that, is this becoming more accepted, do you think? I was so fascinated that you went to the medical school to talk on this topic. I think that's so great. So clearly these doors are starting to open to this type of thinking, at least.
It really is. You know, I like to think of it as an alternative. So instead of thinking of it as a competition to what is offered in mainstream and conventional medicine, it's simply an alternative that can be more consistent with a person's belief system or how they view their health or what they're willing to sacrifice or compromise to get those answers and to get to their desired goal.
Dr. Nicole Basker, thank you so much for joining us today on The Healthy Woman. Lots of great things that you talked about today. We appreciate your time. Dr. Jonathan Zaden, thank you so much for a great year of programming here on WJR.
We're thankful to be here.
Thank you so much for joining us today as well. Let's make it a very healthy and a happy 2020. See you again next year.
The Healthy Woman Show has been presented by Women's Excellence.